Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
And we are back. All right, Scott. So we've got to do the obligatory nod and comment about the sequester. So no deal. Who is that? Howie Mandel does the Deal or No Deal? Okay, so right, Lisa? No? Okay, we don't know. I think it's Howie Mandel. He has a TV show, Deal or No Deal. So Deal or No Deal on the sequester. Wall Street basically says, peers should be saying we don't really care, or at least the good news outweighed that. I don't think people care. And I know there's been stuff written in the papers. I just think people think, we'll make do without, and this is a cut in the increase in the budget, right? It's not even that they're making these huge reductions. We figured out the math, I think on the last show, that it's about a 0.5% of the economy or the U.S. debt, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, and I think the market is so cynical, because they're trained to be so, that nobody really expected anything to happen. I mean, really, why would anybody expect anything to happen?
That they would be able to fix it and make it work and all that.
Yeah, right.
So we got cuts, and you've announced previously that you are that you like cuts.
I do.
And so that's a good thing. All right, so that's the obligatory comment about it. We don't really have much to say other than we're glad they're cutting their spending somehow, even if it's with blunt instruments that they're using.
It is shocking that the culture has not evolved at all. All the public outrage that nobody can get anything done in Washington, D.C., and nothing changes.
And they keep their jobs.
Yep, it's shocking.
It is shocking. All right. Well, let's move along. I know look at that stack. Good grief, Scott. We're going to get to all that?
I have a lot of things to
tell you
about.
Okay. Well, Stock found some interesting stuff for us to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do it.
Here's one of the dumbest things I've heard in a long time. A financial advisory firm is being sued for taking money from their client. The advisors are being sued for many millions of dollars for reasons I'll tell you in a second. The offended party is Mike Tyson.
I saw that headline. I was hoping you would have that in your stack.
Of all people to steal from, crazy Mike Tyson, who has beaten people up because they cut him off on the highway, you're going to steal a couple $100,000 from that guy?
You're going to lose an ear or something.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, Mr. Tyson, as you may recall, is in bankruptcy proceedings, and the terms of his bankruptcy say that he cannot earn non-fight income in excess of $225,000. Anything that goes above that has to go to pay down the bankruptcy. Well, he's been earning a bunch of money. He's been in movies and stuff like that. None of that money has been going to pay down the bankruptcy. So future earnings that he has, he's capped on, because his financial advisor has not been paying down the bankruptcy debt as he is supposed to do.
Oh, instead he's letting Mike spend it.
No, he's keeping it.
Oh, he's keeping it.
Yeah, he's keeping it. He kept about $300,000, according to the accusation.
Oh, so he's supposed to have paid it and he didn't. Okay.
Right. And just as an advisory, interesting to note that the offending advisor started sending Mr. Tyson emails from an address that was not affiliated with the firm, and then said that he had changed his mailing address. So all of a sudden, instead of getting emails from such and such advisory firm, they're getting them from this guy's Yahoo account. Pretty good tip off there that something is up, as it were. Here's the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time.
Two of them now.
Yeah, John Corzine somehow has avoided a lifetime ban from the NFA, which is the National Futures Association.
What's his status? So MF Global, is it done, right?
Done. Most investors got about 80% of their money back that was tied up when the thing collapsed, which
is okay, I guess.
But
as bad as it could have been.
It's still an egregious violation of trust.
Okay, so where did he land?
Well,
what's he doing? He started a mutual fund or a hedge fund?
A hedge fund. He's trying to get back into the NFA so that he can continue his path of destruction, apparently. The NFA has said, well, we have some concerns about Mr. Corzine's fitness for membership, so we're going to sit on it for the time being and see what other regulatory agencies do. Basically, we're not going to do anything.
We're not going to do anything. We're going to test the waters and see how people react to that.
Yeah, instead of being outraged and saying, how dare you even consider applying to this organization after what you did?
That speaks to what you talked about earlier, Scott, about things getting done in Washington. It's like, They won't just come out and give him a clear no and shame on you for even asking. They give him this, we're going to sit on it and we're going to kind of wait and see how the winds of politics and see if we get any pressure. And it's just nonsense.
Yeah, but the lack of confidence that has been instilled because of MF Global's demise is most certainly still in place. The NFA is not doing themselves any favors, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
I told you on Friday's program about Groupon and how they had missed their earnings and that they were in a lot of trouble. Well, they let their CEO go. A very sort of unique fellow, Mr. Andrew Mason, 32 years old, had no real management experience or executive experience at all when he was appointed to be the CEO of Groupon. Did very odd things like...
Wasn't he? Did he found it?
He was one of the original three guys.
All right, so he's one of the original guys. Okay, you're CEO. Okay.
But they kept him for a long, long, long time, even after he did odd things like has press conferences with open cans of beer on the table, and it was just kind of odd things like that. Anyway, he was let go. His severance package, would you like to guess?
Oh, please don't tell me it's a big number.
It's $756.
That is perfect.
Actually, it's half of that because that's his annual salary. He gets 6 months of that. Now, on top of that, he still gets health care and stuff like that. And although he was at one time worth about $1.3 billion, most of his value is in shares of Groupon. That's down to about $200 million. So he lost about 80% of his value from a former billionaire.
But he's still got $200 million.
He's fine. No tears. He did, however, do something that most CEOs do not do, and he sent a tweet, I guess, out to the Groupon employees and basically said, listen, I got fired because I deserved it. And I'm sorry for what happened to the share price, and you guys are going to do better off without me. So I hope you do as well as you can. And then he went on to say, I'm going to a fat farm to lose 40 pounds.
Well, here's what I love about
that. It was
that.
Odd.
It's odd, but here's the best part, Scott, is that the funny part is he's like, hey, listen, you guys are going to be better off without me. Your stock price will do better. I sure hope so because I got a bunch of it.
Yeah.
That's what that's about.
Yeah, but it really was I thought, a very nice letter. He started it off by saying, at this point, I've decided to go spend more time with my family, you know, the typical
right,
cliche.
Of course.
And then he said, no, actually, they fired me this morning. So we moved on from there. So that was good. I think an interesting story, at least for Friday's trade. We have talked a lot about the price of gold and how it has taken something of a precipitous drop over the last several months. In the months of January and February, investors have taken over $3 billion out of the largest gold ETF, the Spiders Gold Shares GLD.
Really?
$3.1 billion in withdrawals from that fund, according to data from Index Universe.
That's a lot. And see, we hear or see sometimes the folks that are really pushing the gold that, hey, get in now. I saw a headline that will make you cringe, Scott. Ready for this? I saw an email come across my email account, and it said, the subject line said, gold to skyrocket to $20,000 an ounce.
Wow.
Silver to go into the stratosphere.
Oh.
And gold is off how much?
Right.
I mean, good grief.
Yeah. Most of what I've been able to read about the exodus of funds from the GLD ETF is not from retail investors. It's from hedge funds primarily and private equity, things like that. They're taking the money out because confidence is really being well rewarded in riskier assets like the stock market,
right,
the grains market, the oil market. So the money is really just being redistributed.
So gold for a lot of investors or traders or whatever, folks involved also with currencies, that this is it's a hedge, a crisis hedge, and some of that crisis is fading.
Yeah, not to mention that it's traditionally thought of as an inflation hedge. Whether that's actually the truth is debatable, but it is clear that there is no inflation.
All right, let's do this. Before we continue, Scott, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back. Hey, Scott, hold on. Before you continue, I pulled up one of my favorite websites, which is it's not a favorite website because of what it has, but it is a site I like to look at fairly often, usdebtclock.org. And it's got all of the debt piled up. U.S. national debt is just over $16.6 trillion, $52,000 per citizen.
And moving faster than you can count.
You see the numbers rippling up. They're just spinning on the screen. And it's got the sequester cuts in there. It's got the sequester spending ratio. The sequester to spending ratio is 2.4%. So that gives you a little bit of a perspective. Interesting stuff. And tax increases to spending ratio is about 6.2%. So cuts 2.4, yep. Spending increase tax increase 6.2 on the percentage of spending. I like that.
Yeah.
And I like it from this standpoint. I don't want to see taxes go up, but the cuts are going in and the taxes are going up. Maybe this will at least help a little bit.
Yep. The problem is, you know, the problem really is the compound interest. The interest compounds on top of itself and on top of itself faster than we can keep up with those level of increases and cuts that you're talking about.
Everybody's talked about, you know, ad nauseum, so we won't do that here, about, you know, the reality that you can't cut spending enough, you can't raise taxes enough, and you've got to grow your way out. But we need all three. to make it work.
Well, let me tell you some what I have been reading about from several sources, I think, usable, reputable sources that suggest how we're going to do that, David. The U.S. is on the fast track to energy independence, say several studies.
I love it.
The one in particular that I'm referring to now is according to Citigroup's global head of commodities research, Mr. Edward Morse.
You would hope he would know something.
You would hope so. He says that basically OPEC will be non-existent in 60 years. They say that there is so much
natural resources here,
both oil and natural gas here in the United States, that we could certainly become a major exporter and put OPEC out of business.
Really?
They say that there's going to be a big conversion over the next several decades to natural gas so that that commodity becomes more usable. So the demand on fossil fuel and oil in particular to come down. And they're saying that they're expecting the oil trading range to be in the $70 to $90 barrel by the end of this decade, as opposed to what we've been paying, which is the $90 to $120 barrel.
Well, just that shift to stay between 70 and 90 instead of 90 to 120 would have an incredibly large impact on our economy.
Yeah, a lot of what I'm reading is that is the game changer of game changers, and I'm seeing it from several different sources. So,
and that it is being produced and creating jobs right here in America.
Yeah, that's right. So there are several positives to that story. So hopefully that will help us with that problem there. But we need to get things moving in that direction. Are you familiar with a gentleman named Maurice Taylor?
I'm not.
He ran for president several years ago. I don't think with any kind of real...
Morris or Maurice?
Maurice Taylor.
Okay.
He is now the CEO of a company called Titan Tire. They make tires. He's one of the original...
Okay.
He's an investor.
Is this the dust up with the French?
Yeah, I love this story. This is. Right. I just adore this.
Okay, go ahead.
He is the CEO of Titan Tires, and he received a letter from France, the French industry minister, Arnaud Montebourg, who said, "Mr. Maurice Taylor, please bring your factory over here. We have a factory that was previously owned by Goodyear Tire and Rubber. It's ready to go. There's about 1,000 workers here. It's about 75 miles north of Paris. What's not to like?" Well, he wrote back, Mr. Maurice Taylor wrote back to France, and he said, "I've visited that factory several times. The French workforce gets paid high wages. They work only 3 hours. They get an hour for breaks and lunch. They talk for 3 hours, and they work for 3 hours. And then he said, "How stupid do you think we are?" He said, "What we're going to do is buy a Chinese tire company, or maybe an Indian tire company, and we're going to ship so many tires to France that your industry is doomed."
So he called him out and said, "You basically are working a six-hour day." And now when the French...
No, he said a three-hour day.
A three-hour day. Well, so when the French government got this letter, they were just... Did this cause some strikes or something?
They'll strike for anything over there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, that's pretty clear. But, you know, I mean, I know it's a kind of a funny story, but it does make the point that, you know, business is going to do business where business can do the best. And, look, you know, it's too bad that of those the choices he cited was China, India, and it'd be nice if he said, or back here in the United States.
Well, to that point, Mr. Maurice Taylor also said in the same letter, "The U.S. government is not much better than the French." Titan had to pay millions of dollars to Washington lawyers to sue the Chinese tire companies because of subsidizations. We won, so the government collects duties on Chinese tires, but we don't get the duties. The government gets the duties. How does that help me? So,
nice.
You know, he goes to China and India. Who can blame him? He's trying
to make it work.
Right. He's a business person.
Well, let's make this work. Quick break. Come back. More good stuff.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we are back. Hey, I got another statistic for you on the usdebtclock.org. This is just good stuff. So if you add up all of this, listen to this, Scott. If you add up all of the assets of small businesses, it's a little over $8 trillion. Corporate assets, that's $18 trillion. Household assets, ready for this, $67 trillion. A lot more. Add it all up, we got a total national assets. That's everything all in United States, $94 trillion, call it. So it works out to be about $300,000 per citizen. Now, the liabilities, here's a messed up balance sheet. Social Security, prescription drug liability, Medicare liability,
these
U.S.
are current liabilities.
These are all the current liabilities. U.S. unfunded liabilities, mm-hmm. everything. Add it all up, it's $122 trillion.
That's so, more.
Yeah, $94 trillion in assets, $123 trillion in liabilities.
Hmm.
Or $1 million per person, per taxpayer. How about that?
It's terrific.
Doesn't that make you just have a warm and fuzzy feeling?
Yep, it's terrific.
Well, all right.
If you ever decide that you want to move...
Where shall we go?
Well, there are several islands in the Caribbean that are selling citizenship. I thought this to be an odd story. The Eastern Caribbean nations of Dominica and St. Kitts and Nevis are the worst. They're, if you basically buy some land, they will make you a citizen. Now, the United States has an investor visa, that you can get a visa to the United States if you invest $1 million and you employ at least 10 people and so forth. But this is citizenship. So a lot of people who live in countries who are not welcome to travel frequently, you know, Afghanistan and things like that, if they have the resources, they're able to buy citizenship in these other countries and basically travel completely free. If you have a St. Kitts passport, you can travel visa-free to 139 different countries. Dominica passport, more than 50 different countries. They're not overly expensive. A foreigner can qualify for citizenship in St. Kitts with a $250,000 donation or with a minimum real estate investment of $400,000.
Well, now I got an idea. You know, we just talked about these liabilities and our national debt. You know, why don't we make it a lot easier? No illegal immigration required. Look, just come to the United States, plunk down your, I don't know, what do you say? What's U.S. citizenship worth? Want to say $1 million? $5 million?
To me, it's priceless.
Ah. I love that. All right, let's just go with an easy $5 million. How about that?
All right.
Problem solved. Put that toward the debt, a donation toward our debt, and you become a citizen. Good in every country in the world except for, what, Cuba, Iran, and where else? There's another one.
I don't know. Perhaps we should put that to a vote.
All right, Scott.
I want to follow up on a couple things you and I have talked about. We've joked about the gold asteroid and the diamond planet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, there exists a gold asteroid and a diamond planet.
Get out.
In an international team of astronomers told the Journal of Science that they have found a planet that they believe is slightly more massive than Jupiter, but 20 times as dense and is made up primarily of carbon. So it's possible that it's a diamond planet. Using Jupiter's mass as an indication, if the planet was made of solid diamond, it would come in at 37 nonillion carats. One nonillion is the number one with 30 zeros behind it.
That's a big rock.
That's a lot of carats. Unfortunately, it's 4,000 light years away, which makes it a little bit out of reach. But the $20 trillion gold asteroid is a little bit more realistic. A new study this year found that gold on Earth's surface was primarily brought to the planet by asteroids, the rationale being that when the Earth was forming, the heavy metals hit the Earth before the atmosphere was completely formed and they sank, which is why we have to mine the gold. But, you know, if there were asteroids floating around space back then made of pure gold, certainly there could be some now.
Absolutely.
So there, it is thought that there is a $20 trillion gold asteroid out there.
That would be fun if that came and didn't mess us up too much. You know, landed. We had one hit that didn't, you know, like, you know, puncture our planet or mess up our atmosphere or cause major problems. But imagine how that would change things.
Yeah, it would certainly send the ounce price of gold off quite a bit. And then finally, I want to tell you about, as you know, the Pope retired last week. Not a bad retirement package for the Pope, since we always talk about retirement planning and Social Security and things like that. The Pope gets a pension of about 2,500 euros a month. That translates to around $3,300 to the United States. That's the maximum Social Security income possible. He is also going to be able to live rent-free at a beautiful home in the Vatican. He has cooked meals and housekeepers, according to the newspaper in Rome. And also, he has unlimited private health care.
Nice.
Not bad.
How long was he in? Do you remember?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, but it wasn't that long. I mean, he wasn't in there for a long time. Lisa, are you flashing me another? We need to take a break? All right, one more quick break here, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so let's just kind of wrap this up, Scott. We've got some of the major things we got going on. We got unemployment continues to improve.
At an anemic pace, but improvement is improvement, but it's not the pace we need.
It's improving. It's not getting better fast enough to make a meaningful dent in unemployment because every month more people want to come into the labor force.
Right.
All right. And then it doesn't help when a company like J.P. Morgan or somebody comes out and does a bunch of cuts.
Yeah, J.C. Penney in the tenure of this new CEO that we've talked about several times has said 19,000 jobs. I mean, that's a lot of jobs.
That's J.C. Penney.
You're right.
That he's let go or going to?
That he has let go.
Already.
So between J.P. Morgan, J.C. Penney, the financial services industry in general is shedding a lot of jobs. So we have to produce faster to keep up.
And the government jobs, of course, have been coming down.
They have.
That's been a drain. Okay, we got the unemployment then. We've got oil's coming down a little bit, but energy historically, I mean, we talked about that $90 to $120 range for oil, but coming down a little bit, and maybe we'll see some of this internal production that we're seeing help us more with jobs. Market overall volatility, still somewhat modest?
Yeah, I would say very modest. Earnings have been good. Revenues have been good. PE ratio on the S&P, if you look at the current level, is still in the 14
range. Historically, what, 15?
Yeah, right in there somewhere. But can go as high as 22 in real raging bull markets. The VIX is still inside of 20. So I think there are a lot of positives in the market. I don't see any, you know, last year we kept waiting for the next shoe to fall in Europe. We don't have that sort of Damocles hanging over our head this year.
I mean, there still could be problems there, but a lot of the stuff has already been kind of dealt with.
Yeah.
And I did, this is, you know, not necessarily an empirical study, but I've had spoken to realtors, and even one remarked recently that she thinks it is now turning to a seller's market to some degree, and that a lot of the cash buyers are, you know, have snapped up properties, and the banks are holding on. This whole shadow inventory we hear about, the banks aren't necessarily shoving that onto the street if they can wait. You know, they got a loan, they've had to take it over. They're holding. They're waiting for that value to come on up.
Yeah, I am not one to predict, as you know, but I do feel positive for this year's market at this point.
I like that. All right, that's all the time we have today, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.